Thank you, Stephen. Good to see you here this morning. I see that the hatred is spreading, or the disdain. I shouldn't say the hatred. I shouldn't have used that word. Or maybe I should have. I don't know. But that's okay. That's okay. Good to have you here with us this morning. We're all bound together, definitely not by a sport or a sports team. We're bound together by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're here to look into His Word. And I trust that you know Him as your Savior. If you don't, I trust that as we share together this morning, your heart will be spoken to by His Word, and you'll be challenged and drawn to Him. And if you do know Him as your Savior, I pray that this morning you will be encouraged, and you also will be challenged in the Scriptures. I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, as we continue our study of the armor that God has provided for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Why would we need armor? Well, because we're in a battle, a spiritual battle. We've been looking at the nation of Israel going from Egypt to Canaan, and we have found that as they were entering into Canaan, the promised land, that they had been given this land geographically to be theirs. God had given it to them, but He had told them they would have to go in and appropriate those blessings for themselves. And God likewise has given us blessings in Christ, those who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. These are spiritual blessings, and He said we also have to take those because we are in a battle. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we're going to read again down through verse 17 as we are reminded of the context of this armor. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Two Sunday mornings ago when I spoke, we began to look at this piece of armor, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, we did mention at that time that the Word of God, the Greek word for word used here, is the word rhema. And it speaks of the individual Scripture that's appropriate for a particular need. The other Greek word, translated word, most often in the New Testament, is the word logos, and that speaks primarily of the totality of Scripture. Now, it's interesting the wording that the Spirit of God uses. Again, as we said when we looked at that, God picks a particular word to express the idea that He is wanting to communicate to us. It's not random. It was not left to the human authors just to pick whatever they wanted to. The Holy Spirit of God was superintending, overseeing what they would write. Now, the word that we find for sword here in verse 17 is also a specific word. It's a word which really describes a shorter sword. We often think of a sword as a long sword, and of course there are many different swords that were used back in the day of the Roman Empire. We looked at some of those last time, or talked about them. And also we find that true throughout history and in Scripture. Now, if these men talking bad about Carolina had known what I had up here, they might have been a little more careful, but nah, they don't have to worry about that. I'm not mean like they are. And this equipment here, it doesn't belong to me. But before you break into either Carl Pfaff or Jonathan Pfaff's house, you might want to think twice about what might be there. But one word we find in the Scripture speaks of a long sword. That's a word that we actually find used a number of times in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book in the New Testament. And there we read about the Lord Jesus, the one who's out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. And we find him speaking throughout the scripture, and we find repeatedly that mention that this sharp two-edged sword came out of his mouth, and that uses the word for this long sword, which also is used in other places in the scripture. But the word that we have used here in this particular place in the book of Ephesians, we find that it's not the word for the long sword, but rather it's a word that in the Greek speaks of a shorter sword. Not sure if it was quite this short, maybe a little bit longer than that, but that's the idea that God is getting across, that this sword is to be taken out of the sheath and used in battle. And we have again been reminded this morning that we're fighting, verse 12, not against flesh and blood. We don't need a sword like this or like that, the battles that we're fighting, because we're fighting spiritual enemies. We're fighting the devil and his demons, those fallen angels who hate God and hate God's people and actually hate all people. And it's their desire that everyone would spend eternity in the lake of fire. Once we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we have no fear of that anymore, or we shouldn't. If we've realized that we're sinners and that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross and shed his blood and rose again for us, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen. If we recognize that we're sinners and he's the Savior, and we're willing to trust the Lord Jesus as Savior, to receive him, to as many as received him, to them God gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast, but rather it's by grace, it's a gift, through faith, believing in the Lord Jesus, that we are saved, that we're born again, that we're brought into the family of God and placed in the army of God. And of course, when we trust the Lord Jesus as Savior, and we're born again and we have a new life and we're living now not for ourselves, but we're living for the Lord Jesus, we become a more primary target of Satan and his demons. Not that they can bring us back to where we were before. We've passed from darkness unto life, and we have eternal life, and it can't be taken from us. But they don't want us honoring God. They don't want us glorifying God. They don't want us witnessing up to the Lord Jesus and of the Lord Jesus. They don't want our lives to shine the evidence of a life that's been changed. That should be the reality of every believer in the Lord Jesus, and Satan doesn't want that. And so he fights against us. As we saw last time, we could really look at the Word of God, not so much as this short sword, but rather as a sheath in which there are many short swords that can be pulled out, the right sword appropriate for the particular attack of Satan. And that's what we've been thinking about. Again, as we looked at the nation of Israel going into Jericho, God made the walls fall down, but they still had to go in and use their swords. When they got to Ai and they had victory there, God gave that city into their hand, but they still had to use their swords. We saw last time, looking at this word rhema in the New Testament, that in order to use this sword, to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we first have to receive the Word, John 17:8. The Lord Jesus said, I have given unto them the words, the rhema that thou gavest me, says to his Father, and they have received them. And then we saw we've got to believe the Word, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, that same Greek word, the rhema of God. And then we've got to commit to obey the Word of God, just like Peter in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, who said, when told by the Lord Jesus to put down his net into the water to catch fish, he said, Lord, we've fished all night. We hadn't caught a thing, but at your word, at your rhema, we're going to let down the net. We're going to pick up there. And next, we need to understand the Word. Receive the Word, believe the Word, commit to obeying the Word, but also to understand the Word. We read in Luke chapter 9, the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, "Let these sayings," He uses the word logos there, the totality of Scripture, "sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." But the disciples did not understand this saying, this rhema, this word appropriate for the situation. They didn't understand it, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they were afraid to ask Him of that saying. But the Lord Jesus told those same disciples in John chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit would be sent. The Father would send the Holy Spirit in the name of the Son, and He would be the one who would teach all things. He's the one who makes us understand. Let me suggest to you, let me plead with you, that you not be like the disciples who, when they didn't understand, were afraid to ask the Lord Jesus, "What does this mean? I don't understand it." The Lord Jesus wants us to ask Him that. "I don't understand this Scripture. Lord, make me understand it." As the hymn goes, "Make me understand it. Help me to take it in." And God wants us to ask Him, "What does this mean?" Because if we've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God lives inside of our bodies. And He's there to be our teacher to help us understand it. And if we're going to use the sword well, we must understand what we're reading. And then we need to hide the Word. Not hide it somewhere where we can't find it, but hide it somewhere where we will be able to find it. We need to meditate on the Word of God. And as these boys and girls and young people that lined up here have been doing, and evidence to us that they have been doing by their quotations, we need to memorize the Scriptures. We read in Psalm 119 and verse 11, the psalmist says to the Lord, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." John 15 and verse 7, the Lord Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words," my rhema, "abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done to you." Ruth Marie Fuller was a missionary to Germany. And here's what she said later in her life. "Oh, I had known for years that I should memorize Scripture and hide God's word in my heart. But for the lack of a good plan, my attempts failed or slowly dwindled to nothing. I was challenged to memorize one verse per week by reading or saying the verse five times each day for a week, and the second week moving on to the next verse in the passage, repeating the process, but the fifth time reviewing the verse from the previous week. This way, entire passages can be memorized quite easily. I took the challenge, although one verse per week didn't seem like much. However, after 3 years and almost 200 verses, I am thrilled to see that one verse a week adds up quickly and that I have been hiding God's Word in my heart." Hide God's Word, His rhema. The Word that is appropriate for a particular situation, for a particular attack of Satan, that you can pull it out and be ready to do battle with your enemy, the devil, and his demons. If we hide God's Word in our heart, it's available there for the Spirit of God to bring it to our remembrance. And that's the next point. Remember the Word. Remember the Word. We read in Luke chapter 24, I'll use that one. When the angels were there at the tomb, after the Lord Jesus resurrected, and the women came to the tomb, one of the angels spoke to the women, and when he told them that the Lord Jesus is not here, He is risen as He said, then they remembered His Word. It came back to their minds. And we have the Spirit of God living in us. the Spirit of God, if He wants to, could bring to our minds a verse we had never heard, but that is very unlikely. And He could bring to our minds a verse that we have heard but don't really know and haven't memorized. That is more likely, but still is not the way to be prepared. We should be prepared. We should be taking the Word of God, hiding it in our hearts through some type of memorizing. It doesn't have to be a program formal, but it needs to be something that can keep us accountable. We need to have someone that is helping us, encouraging us, keeping us faithful. I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, as this woman did later in her life. If you're late in life, start now or pick it up now. It's a lot easier, we'd say, for these kids to memorize than it is for us. I probably ought to get some amens on that. But we can still memorize. We can still hide God's Word in our heart. Well, how do we use this sword in battle? You know, this sword, now I don't know about this sword, but the sword of the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is used not just to be looked at, but it's designed to be applied in a battle situation. Now, the Roman soldier might have had a very attractive sword, but it didn't matter how attractive the sword was when he got into battle. It mattered if the sword was effective and he knew how to use it. Go with me, if you will, to a familiar passage in Matthew chapter 4. And we've got a lot to cover this morning, and I'm going to just very briefly look at this. We actually looked at a parallel passage when we were going through the book of Deuteronomy, as we made our way through the wilderness from Egypt to the promised land in our study. And as we came to the book of Deuteronomy, we looked at this passage also, because the Lord Jesus here refers to that book. And here we find the example of the master swordsman. The master swordsman. If you want to learn how to fight with a sword, watch somebody that knows what they're doing. And get them to teach you. And that's what we need to do. Look at the Lord Jesus here. Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Remember, he's led by the Spirit of God here. He's where the Spirit of God wants him. He's under his direction, as every believer should be. We should be allowing God the Holy Spirit to direct our lives. He went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. While he was there, he was going to have the attack of Satan come at him, and he was going to be in a weakened position physically. Verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. Hadn't eaten in 40 days or 40 nights. Physically, he's weak. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, watch out, here comes the attack. Here's what the tempter said. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now that was an attack that hit him where he was weak. If we want to say the Lord Jesus was weak physically in that state. He was weak, 40 days without eating. Look how the Lord Jesus responds. He reaches into the sheath and pulls out the sword of the Spirit, one appropriate for the need. What does he say? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Lord Jesus himself, God the Son, who could have said the word of God, he could have spoken a new word if he chose to, but as an example to us, to have that victory over Satan, he reaches into the sheath, pulls out the sword from Deuteronomy, and stops the attacker with a counterattack. He goes on. We read in verse 5, then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple and says unto him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written. Hey, here comes Satan. He's going to try to use a little scripture. He quotes from the book of Psalms. He shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written. Pulls out another sword. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 8, again the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and says unto him, all these things will I give unto thee, if you will fall down and worship me. Another attack. Then said Jesus unto him, get you hence, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. What does he do? He reaches in the sheath. He pulls out yet another sword. The Lord Jesus didn't quote the same verse every time. He pulled out the sword, the word that was appropriate for the particular attack of Satan. What an example for us. To have God's word hidden in our hearts, to know the word of God, to understand the word of God, that when Satan comes, we don't have to try to fight him off with our own ability, but rather we can say, as the Lord Jesus did, it is written. It is written. It is written, with a relevant verse or statement from the scripture for specific needs. Now go back to the book of Ephesians. We've been looking at the book of Ephesians. We've gone through this book as we've been considering the spiritual blessings that God gives to us. And I want us just to go through, and we're going to just really do this quickly. We're going to be pulling the sword out and pulling another one out, pulling another one out. What I want to do is just go through, and we want to think about some potential attacks from Satan. And then we're going to just use the book of Ephesians to illustrate how these swords can be pulled out, appropriate for the need, to counterattack Satan's attack on us. Maybe you will recognize some of these attacks that come against you. Now here's an attack from Satan. If you're a child of God, then why do others have so much of God's blessing and you have so little? Now when Satan does that, he's probably pointing to material blessings. Look at chapter 1 and verse 3. We've looked at this verse time and again. Pull out the sword if that's Satan's attack. Here's the sword. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You have every spiritual blessing in Christ. The blessings that really matter. Pull out the sword. The counterattack. Here's another attack. Satan says, you have failed so many times. You might as well give up on this seeking to be holy. You're wasting your time. Pull out the sword. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as He, God, has chosen us in Him, Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love. That's God's plan for every believer, that we will be holy before Him. Pull out the sword when Satan comes and lies to you. Here's another attack of Satan. You are so guilty and you know it. Your sins. Your sins. Your sins. When Satan comes at you like that, go into your sheath. Pull out the sword from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom, the Lord Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Pull out the sword. That's where the power is to fight Satan. You have forgiveness of sins through His blood. Satan's going to come. Satan's going to attack. He's going to come and he's going to say, you know, your life is so random. There is no rhyme, no reason for what is happening to you. It is without purpose. Go into the sheath, pull out verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. God is working. God has a purpose in everything that comes into your life. Pull out the sword of counterattack against Satan. It is written. Satan may come to you and say, after all of that, You don't really think you're still saved, do you? Go into your sheath. Pull out chapter 1 in verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Have that sword ready, that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to stand. Satan comes, and he says, there is no way, no way that you could be of any value to God. No way. Go into your sheath. Pull out verse 18 of chapter 1. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. And here's the part of the sword. Pull it out. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Every believer is a part of the inheritance of God. Pull out the sword. Be ready. You know, there's a lot more. Right now I want to pause, though, because I want to get your help. Because I am convinced that everybody here has something in their mind. You have some attack of Satan that we haven't talked about. And it's something that you deal with on an ongoing basis. And I'm going to ask if maybe some of the men could come up here. And I want to give everybody an index card, okay? Everybody in the room, I want you to get an index card. If maybe some of Brian, you come and help me over here. Some of you over there, you guys, I'm going to pass these out as quickly as I can. I want to get these out. So maybe we can have about 8 guys coming up here, passing these out. It'll go quicker. There you go. And everybody's going to get a card. Just pass those down the aisles if you could. And on this card, I just want you to, and I've got some pens. Yeah. And if you need a pen, and also there's some of the guys in the back are going to get some other pens too. And I'll get somebody else maybe to come around and do the pens real quickly. If I can get somebody to get those. And I want you to write down an attack. And it might be one word. It might be one word, or you might want to put it like we've been looking, maybe what Satan would say to you or how it would come to you as an attack. Now, nobody's going to see this with your name on. When you finish, I just want you to fold it, okay? And what we're going to do, there you go, Brian, take this. What, we need some more cards? Okay. What we're going to do is when you get this finished, I want you to fold the card so nobody can see it, and just pass it down to the end, to the middle of the aisle. We're going to take it. And this week, I'm going to take these cards, and I'm going to seek to find verses that can be used as a sword in these particular situations. Now, you may already have a verse that you're already using. You may have a multiplicity of verses that you're using, but maybe I'll come up with a different one. But I'm going to compile these. Nobody's going to know who wrote what on the paper. But it's going to have the attack and then a verse, and we're going to give those out next week. And it may be that there's somebody that's battling your attack. You've got the same problem, struggles you're having, but they may not write it down today, or they may not even be here today, and they might be here next Sunday. So just write that down. Anybody need a pen or a pencil, raise your hand. If you need one, and these guys will get one to you, okay? There's one back there in the back, I see. And if you finish with your pen, you know, you can pass it on to somebody else, okay? While you're doing that, let me just give you a moment to do it instead of keeping time. I'm going to be quiet for a minute. I don't know what Jonathan's going to do with the recording here. He's going to say, wow, what's going on? So if you listen to this on the internet, you might wonder what's happening here during the period of silence. That'll be okay. Now, I know if you stall, you think you won't have to listen to me anymore, but don't do that. Thank you. If you finish with it, just pass it on, fold it up, pass it to the middle, and get some. Paul's going to pick them up there, and I'll compile these. You want to stump the preacher, that's okay too. Try to put one, make it hard on me. And I'm going to encourage you during this week, you know what you wrote on that paper, nobody else does. You yourself try to find a verse or verses that would be an appropriate verse to use, just like the Lord Jesus did when he was tempted. He reached in, he pulled out that sword and said, "It is written." He pulled out that short sword, ready to do close face-to-face battle with the devil and his demons, and we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. So I want to encourage you to be looking. You may think of a different verse. You may find a different verse or verses than I do. So that will be good, and that can be beneficial. Again, pulling out those swords, being ready, battling against Satan. Okay, these guys are going to keep picking them up. And while they're picking them up, I'm going to go back to Ephesians. So if you finish writing, then you go on back to the book of Ephesians with me. If you're still writing, that's fine. And these guys will keep picking them up. But we're going to go back to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to think about some more attacks. And we're going to go through here for the last few minutes and get those, okay? Maybe this attack comes to you. You might not recognize it as a satanic attack, any of these, but here comes the attack. You're too weak to get through this trial. You are too weak to get over this obstacle. There's no way you're strong enough. You might need to pull out Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20. Again, sometimes you may only memorize a portion of these verses, but I'm reading them in context, okay? So Ephesians 1, verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places?" So when you have that attack that there's no way that you're strong enough to get through this trial, to get over this obstacle, you can pull out the sword. The sword that reminds you that God's power is exceedingly great towards you. It's the working of his mighty power, the same power that he used in raising the Lord Jesus from the dead and exalting him to his own right hand. Here comes another attack of Satan. In a lonely moment, in a quiet moment, nobody truly loves you. You are so unlovable. You can reach into the sheath and you can pull out Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. And there you can use that sword to speak to yourselves as well as to your attacker. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us." What a blessing to be reminded of the love that God has for us, even in our unloveliness. Yes, someone does love us, not because of us, but because he is love. Sometimes Satan may say to you, "God is wasting his time on you." And you tend to agree with him. You may need to reach into the sheath and pull out Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 that tells us that in the ages to come, God will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That for all eternity, God is going to use the way that he expressed his kindness to us on the earth. He's going to use that to demonstrate to the universe his mercy and his kindness. Satan will lie. He will come to you. He will say, "Yes, you're saved by grace, so you better watch out for good works." You are saved by grace, but you might need to pull into the sheath and pull out Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, which says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, I need to be doing good works, not for salvation, that's a gift, but rather in appreciation for salvation, as a result of salvation, moving forward in Christ. One more we'll look at this morning, another attack. When Satan comes and you have that sense that God seems so far away from you. God seems so far away, doesn't he? That's the attack. You reach into the sheath, you pull out the sword of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. You may just remember that little phrase, made near by the blood of Christ. And use that. It is written. It is written. It is written. Do you see how important it is to believe the Word of God, to receive the Word of God, to understand the Word of God, to commit to obey the Word of God, to hide the Word of God in your heart and mind, and then to remember the Word of God. Remember to use the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. We're going to close in prayer this morning. I want to thank you for your participation, both in listening and also in what you put on the card. Look this week, seek a verse, at least one, that I'm not going to call on you next week. Don't worry about it. Don't come in and think I'm going to call on you. Say, stand up and give your verse. I just want you to do that for your own use, and I'm going to take the challenge to look at these verses also and the things that you bring and try to find some verses appropriate. Now, all of God's Word is profitable. Every word of the Word of God is profitable. But we find that there are particular things in the Scripture that are particularly appropriate for particular attacks. Be ready with the sword. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. Lord, we thank you for the totality of your Word, that it's all of you, that all Scripture is given by your inspiration, is breathed out by you, and it's profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And we thank you, Lord, that each individual statement of your Word has particular purposes that you have in mind in our lives. And we thank you for the example of the master swordsman, the Lord Jesus, who in battling temptation from the devil stood, and in the evil day, and having done all, he stood, using the sword of the Spirit, saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written," and not quoting from the philosophers of his time, but quoting from your Word, the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the power of your Word. We thank you that it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it goes down to the deepest parts of our beings. And even, Lord, as we use it in battle, it's also doing its work in our hearts and lives. Father, challenge us to be in your Word, to meditate on your Word, to understand your Word, to memorize your Word, to hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you and giving in to temptation. Father, we pray that as we go forth from here, we'd be more committed to your Word. We pray for any who do not know you personally. Father, might they realize that they have not been forgiven of their sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And might they cry out for forgiveness through the one who died for us and rose again, in whose name we pray, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you.